Welcome to Abiding in Hope, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Marianne Jepson, your host, and my co-host with the show is Father John Sims Baker. He is the Vice Rector of the College of Liberal Arts at the Pontifical College Josephinum, and I am a clinical counselor and Catholic therapist. We are here to answer your questions about challenges that you have in life and how faith and those challenges intersect. And so we hope that you will make contact with us on our website, abidinginhope.com. There's a nice little space there for you to submit your questions, and we will use those on future shows. So it's very grateful to have you with us today, and I am most grateful to have my co-host, Father John Sims Baker. How you doing, Father?
Finer than a frog's hair,
oh,
Marianne.
Oh, yay, it worked, and that's mighty fine.
Mighty fine, that's right.
If we want you all to learn this, our listeners, that if you ever see Father Baker anywhere around town and you say, "Hey, Father, how you doing?" and he says, "Finer than a frog's hair,"
That's mighty fine.
And that's mighty fine. That's the answer. So it's always fun to have Father with me. And Father, would you please start us off with a prayer?
Thank you, Marianne. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you and glorify you this day. And we offer ourselves to you, uniting all our joys and sorrows, sufferings, our work, everything, in union with your Son's offering of himself to you, through his Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. And we ask that you accept this offering and use us as you will, just allowing us to know your presence and your love and giving us the grace we need to be receptive and open to that, trusting in you, knowing that with you all is for good. And we ask all these prayers through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful prayer, Father. I was thinking about the title of our show, Abiding in Hope, and how really the word abiding is dwelling. You know, it's where we need to stay in hope. And we only get that through the grace of God and surrendering our lives over to him and all of those challenges that we have. And so that's the place where it's safe for us to dwell with Christ, in Christ, and in that is where our hope is. And so we have some questions that we will tackle today and in future shows, of course. We're so grateful when those questions come in. They really do help us to focus our conversations here and help us to help you. And I know that in all of these questions, even though they've been submitted by individuals, what they ask is in some way something that we can find ourselves, perhaps, or someone we know. We hope that you might share some of the wisdom that you gain here with those that these questions might help. So, Father, our first question, and sometimes we only get through one in the show, and that's okay.
That's good.
You know, if we have time for more, we take more. But this was a question that came in recently, and here it goes. What thoughts do you have on finding appropriate work, life, and prayer balance, especially in a beginning career, and how much prayer is best together and separately from a significant other with whom you are discerning marriage? So perhaps the assumption made here is that this person who writes this is in maybe their mid to late 20s or 30s somewhere, mid to late 30s, and I do believe that's probably the truth. So, Father, I'm going to toss this over to you.
Well, this question, it's a question that I address in similar forms very often in marriage preparation situations, and that's a beautiful work, and these are things that come up very often. That first work-life prayer balance is a huge question, and then also the idea, I really want to applaud the person who asked this question for
right.
even asking about praying together.
I think
because that's something I always really encourage couples to begin to do, to work. Because I'm afraid a lot of times as Catholics, we're not, you know, ordinarily very comfortable or praying together with another person. And mm-hmm. I think it's something that's extremely helpful. So I really am very grateful for that part of that question. But let's start, I guess, with the first part. On finding the appropriate balance of work, life, prayer. And he said, especially in a beginning career. Well, there's an old saying in, I think it comes from one of the, you know, ancient philosophers, that the beginning determines the end. So don't just sort of say, oh, this is at the beginning and I'll do some things and then later on I'll straighten everything out. But right now I've just really got to live an unbalanced life because this is the beginning and in order to get it off the ground and that sort of thing. Well, very often, like, as it said, the beginning determines the end. The patterns and habits that we establish in the beginning of anything very often determine what the end will be. So, again, I applaud you for asking this question now, where you can maybe have a really, really good beginning. And so one of the things I'd encourage you to do, as you pointed out, Marianne, I suspect, too, that this questioner is fairly young. I would suspect, as you said, maybe like in the late 20s. And I would encourage this person to take a very long view and not just like when they're in their 30s or 40s or something. Let's take it from the point of view of heaven. You know, think about when you're in heaven and you're looking back on your life, what's going to be important then? What's going to seem, and I think then that will help you to evaluate, because that's really what's going to matter. And so that supernatural point of view, we get people telling us, oh, you need to do this for your career. You need to do that. You need to do the other. And I'm not dismissing that at all. I mean, we need to, you know, make good, prudent decisions from a, you know, a natural point of view, but also we need to take the supernatural point of view. And like, what is going to help me to get to heaven? And what's going to matter once I'm there? And I've talked to that again, like with couples in marriage preparation, a lot of times this balancing about career or dual careers and all these sorts of things that are real important to people. But you think, and in, even on the human level, it changes quickly. Very often what really changes it is like the appearance of this little tiny new little human being, mm-hmm. a little baby.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, how many times I've heard, especially men say this, when their first child is born, everything has changed. And that's a lot sooner than heaven even. So just, you know, what I would say is pray, try to have that supernatural point of view, try to think about the things that are really, really going to matter. You know, again, people have said things like, I don't think anybody on their deathbed has ever said, I really wish I had gone into work more or something like that. You know, I think they say things that have to do with those things that are permanent and eternal in our lives, our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. Those are the eternal things. And he mentions those, work, life, and prayer. Mm-hmm. So do be praying. Do be praying every day. Set yourself a time and be faithful to it. We're creatures of habit. The things that are important to us, we know when and where we're going to get them done. I bet everybody listening to this program knows they don't have to think at all about when and where they're going to brush their teeth. And I bet they have what they need to do it in that place, you know?
Exactly.
Well, for prayer, we need to know when and where we're going to do it. And have what we need there and be ready to do it and be faithful to that. You know, have this sort of plan of life for your spiritual life. And also take prayer off the top. I mean, that's your first thing. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about these gifts that were the first fruits, mm-hmm. that the Israelites would make a sacrifice of the first fruits. That takes a lot of faith and trust, doesn't it?
It does.
Because who knows if they're going to be second and third and fourth.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
And those second, third, and fourth might not be as good as
so you give God the... But if you do that, then it all works out. We're all super busy. And people say things like, oh, I don't have time enough to pray. But there's a spiritual writer I've read who said, I think it's Father Jacques Philippe, who said, I've never heard of somebody starving to death because they didn't have time to eat, you know? And so, but we'll spiritually starve ourselves to death by not taking that time. And take it, give it, not necessarily the maybe the very first thing of the day, but the thing that you give priority to, the thing that you will not fail to do needs to be your prayer. The number one priority of your day. That will be what you get done, even if you get nothing else done. But what you will find is you'll get plenty of other things done. Mm-hmm. It's this strange thing that God does. If you give him off the top, somehow or another, it all works out. And there's time for all these other things. But it doesn't work the other way. If you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to get everything else done, and then before I go to bed, I'll say my prayers. What you end up doing is falling asleep before you say your prayers.
That's
so
true.
It's good intention. Mm-hmm. So give in that, you know, as you're balancing there, give prayer the priority. And I would say life probably would be another priority. And work is also a part of life. Mm-hmm. But it should be a part that contributes, you know, to life. It has a role in that. Do your work well. Do it efficiently. Do it so that it serves your life and your prayer. Be good at it. So that you have influence over other people, you know, so that you can influence them maybe about things that are even more important than work, you know,
so that
the people you know. So those are some good things there, I think. But, you know, keep that supernatural point of view. And if you do that from the beginning, then as you go on, those habits can really become, you know, ingrained. The second part about how much prayer is best together and separately, especially when you're discerning marriage, again, I would say, we'll start praying together in the first place. I think that not exclusively. You need to have your own private prayer as well. But do figure out a way that you can pray together as well. This is a place where sometimes people talk about, you know, how when children come along, life in some ways becomes maybe harder or more difficult, practically speaking. I think people find it very easy to pray with children, though.
Oh, sure.
They'll come together.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
They'll come together. They'll say, oh, yeah, we got to pray with the children before we go to bed and that sort of thing and all. And but so I would say, but start before that. Start as this person is asking, apparently still, you know, in maybe a dating period and that's right. But figure out ways to pray together. And I don't think there's any one perfect way, but find a way that works. You know, I know couples who do all kinds of things. I know from one extreme to, I know a couple who, what they do is they pray together. They're kind of doing their own prayer, but they do it together all the way to people who do, you know, things like maybe the rosary together or do intercessory prayer together. Or I knew a couple, wonderful couple, had a large family. Their children are mainly grown now, but they had this habit as a family, because I was in their home sometimes when they would do this, it was time to pray together, and they would simply say, okay, they would pray, I think, a decade of the rosary, because even the little children could join in at that, and then they would say, well, let's say one thing that we're thankful for today and one thing we want to pray for today. And the father of this family said it was amazing to him how many things he found out were important to his children only because they mentioned it in their prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a family that was very engaged with one another. But it adds a new level of intimacy, I think, when you pray in that way together. And so that's why I think it's a great thing for couples to do, especially those, you know, discerning marriage. So, but do have your own private prayer as well. God wants He wants some one-on-one. He's a jealous God. He wants time with you too.
Very much so. I think, I like you, I love this question, because for young people to make this a priority, it shows such great insight to even be asking this question. If you're just tuning in, I'll repeat the question that came in from one of our listeners. What thoughts do you have on finding appropriate work-life prayer balance, especially in a beginning career? And how much prayer is best together and separately from a significant other with whom you are discerning marriage? And Father gave such a wonderful reply to that, I think. And the fact that these questions are being asked now is just so important. Prior to, if marriage is in the future, if it isn't for them, they're still discerning. I would say, too, the priorities are most important. And to set those priorities, if you have to make lists to get your head around it in the beginning, like, what are my priorities? It's interesting in the way this question was worded. Work comes first, life comes next, and prayer comes last. I don't believe that the author of this question actually meant it that way, because I suspect from the way the question is written that prayer and God is central to their lives. It's just that it's a little bit confusing because life and work so often get in the way. So as Father Baker said, it's important to understand that prayer comes first. Give God the first fruits. Schedule him, if you have to, on your calendar, wherever it is. If it doesn't come the first part of the day, make an appointment with God somewhere along that day.
I think the point of that, you know, the prayer may be coming last. Prayer very likely would be, though, in just terms of quantity, maybe the, and that doesn't mean,
oh, sure,
but the thing is, it's the priority that's important.
Sure.
It's not
sure.
So much the quantity as the priority.
As the priority. That's interesting. Yeah. And then in terms of the relationship, too, I would say if these people, these young people are discerning marriage, as you had said, it's so important to pray together. A lot of times as a therapist, I don't see young couples necessarily placing a priority in praying together. They may do it separately, but to have that priority to do that before marriage is a beautiful thing.
You know, there's a beautiful biblical example of this in the book of Tobit, mm-hmm. of Sarah and Tobiah kneeling down and praying together on their wedding night.
Oh, you know? Yes.
And it's one that frequently, at least in my experience, couples will choose for their wedding ceremony. And praying this heartfelt prayer. I don't want to go read the book of Tobit if you haven't read it. It's a beautiful love story, among other things. If you haven't read it, not familiar with it, I won't spoil it for you. But it's this prayer, this really heartfelt prayer, this couple on their wedding night. It's just, mm-hmm. it's amazing.
It is. It's so beautiful. That is a great, great thing to put in here into this discussion. I have been reading, taking morsels of this book at A Bite at a Time, The Power of Silence by Robert Cardinal Seurat. And I think it's against the dictatorship of noise. And so when I look at this question against, again, the work and the life, there's so much noise in all of that. There's a lack of, oftentimes just a lack of relationship with real human beings in the midst of work and life. Yes, maybe there's the goal of getting the work done and things accomplished that you have to do, but deep relationships oftentimes don't happen in those spaces. And in this book, Cardinal Seurat's book, and I believe that it's important in terms of discerning marriage and the aspect of prayer, that your relationship with God is so important, and he meets you in the silence. He meets you not when you're talking with someone else so much deep in your heart, but it's when it's in those moments of silence when it's you and him. If that's in adoration, if that's in your home, wherever your special prayer spot is. And some of the things that came out of this one chapter that I read, it goes like this. Cardinal was asked the question, for many mystics, the fruitfulness of silence and solitude is similar to that of the word pronounced at the creation of the world. How do you explain this great mystery? Well, he goes on to say that the word is not just a sound. It is a person and a presence. It is God, and he's there with you. So meeting him in the word and praying to him, he comes to you. He comes to you in the silence, and he speaks in ways in the silence that you don't get in the noise and in the words that we usually speak. But I think that that's very important. It's Cardinal says here, God achieves everything, acts in all circumstances, and brings about all our interior transformations. But he does it when we wait for him in recollection and silence, not in the normal turmoil and noise of the world, but he enters into our innermost depths of our being. So I say that because if this is really a process of discerning marriage, and if there are any uncertainties in that, take them to God alone. Take them in your own silence and ask him and turn to him and pray to him that he will shed the light. He will show you the direction, and he will speak in the quiet of your heart. Is this really what he wants for you?
Well, Marianne, I would say very much, I would agree with what you were just saying and tie that back to what you were saying even before we started this question about the title of this show, Abiding in Hope.
Yes.
Again, that idea of abiding mm-hmm. that you were talking about, or sometimes as it's translated, remaining. And just mm-hmm. being there and setting things aside so that there is this time where there can be this stillness, there can be this solitude, where really we do experience God and we regain a hope and direction and vision and, perspective that this questioner is asking a lot about, that how do I balance things? A lot of times I think we have a very hard time doing that. But as you just said, quoting from the Cardinal, God can do those things.
God can do it.
But we have to be with him. We mm-hmm. have to stay with him.
We do. And, our uncertainties about marriage. There's so many young people, I think, today that, most of them have had a pretty good life and they've been pretty independent in things. They've gotten maybe a good education and have a pretty good job and things. And they've seen marriages break up left and right. And so there's some sort of... maybe perhaps a bit more uncertainty about marriage than earlier generations have had. I see a lot of clients in that realm where it's there's just a real fear in a sense that I'm doing okay on my own, but I'm not sure I can take another person on this journey. They're imperfect, aren't we all? Everyone's imperfect, but in what ways are those things really might be take those uncertainties to God in the silence of your heart. Sometimes it's hard to speak it to the person that you're discerning marriage with.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and that's that call though to enter into, to take the risk, of marriage, for example, or, in the work that I do in the seminary, the risk of a priesthood, of vocation and that sort of thing. There is it's not a risk that you're going to lose. It's a risk that you are going to become what you are, what you are to be. Mm-hmm. But unless you take that risk, that can't happen. Mm-hmm. Unless you step out. And so, yes, is it more complicated to live with another person? Absolutely, it is. But it also probably is what we need to be holy.
Yes.
And we need that. I was mentioning before, so many young couples I've talked to, maybe after their first year or so of marriage, and they'll say, oh, that year was so hard mm-hmm. in some ways. I never knew how selfish I was.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
But isn't that great to discover that? And I think much the same sort of thing happens in, seminary discernment as well, in formation. We find out things and continues to happen. That's one of the things I always try to tell the seminarians too. Formation doesn't end when you're ordained. The church says formation is supposed to go on. And we have these moments where we think, wow, that's painful. That's hard. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to be an authentic disciple of the Lord, I really do have to listen to him. I have to abide in him, pray there, and respond to what he's showing me.
And so giving surrendering our lives to either Christ in the form of vocation to the priesthood or religious life, or the married life. Therein lies special challenges, special crosses, special areas where we can only grow in Christ by going through those things and really being who He wants us to be, who He's created us to be. And while there are struggles and challenges, as you said, Father, the first year of marriage for some find that was the honeymoon, and then it's like, holy smokes, what hit us? It's like the honeymoon was over, and then what we got into, we were not prepared for. Whatever it is for anyone, it's just continuing to surrender our lives to the Lord and walk with Him this journey, because this is, He's with us. He's there. And He gives us the hope that we need to carry on and to get through this and to be who He really made us to be. So, Father, another week has gone by for
us.
The
already?
Time flies so much when I'm with you, when you're having fun, you know. And so I guess we have to say farewell to our listeners and farewell to the show today. But we won't do that until you have sent us off with a blessing.
And let us pray to our Blessed Mother, and then I'll give the blessing.
Okay.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. And until next time, please take our words seriously, what we've said, and know that the Lord is with you, and you need to just dwell with Him and abide in hope at that place. God bless.